If you will take your sermon outline out of your bulletin and follow along. I've chosen to title this Father's Day message, Power Tools, but I'm going to change it right here to be Powerful Tools. Powerful, F-U-L-L, tools, Powerful Tools. Dad, I know you because I am one. And my wife and I, we were 32 and 34 when we had our two children. We waited a while, and it was a good thing we did because I needed to grow up. And I tell you, having children made me look at myself more times than I cared to look at myself. And it has been the best experience of my life is to raise Justin and Kendra and to be their dad. And they tell me from time to time in various ways how important I am to them. Dad, this is what I want you to know. Whether your children are grown and gone, whether they're still in your home, your children know how important you are to them. Whether they tell you or not, they know how important you are to them. When my dad died at the age of 69 back in 1999, I was about 40 years old. And it was hard to realize that my dad was gone. It was hard to let him go. Even though we didn't have the best relationship, it got better later on in life, but it was hard to realize my dad was gone. And sometimes, you know, it's when you don't have it anymore that you realize how important it is to you. That was what was going on with me. So dads, my message to you today is this. Your children know how important you are to them. I want you now to know how important you are to your children. How important you are to your children. Whether you understand that or not, I did not. Growing up with kind of an absent father, you know, I kind of turned out okay, so I must really not need a dad kind of idea, you know. Yeah, and so I thought of myself as, well, you know, I'm a dad, but it's no big. Oh, yes, it is. It's a real big. Dad, you're important to your children. And I'm going to give you some tools today, some powerful tools to help you use that realization in their lives. But let's start today in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 might seem like a weird place to start about Father's Day. But it's in a moment you'll see why I chose Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Let me read this to you. So let's set the background. Moses has led the people out of Egypt. That's around 1406 B.C. He's led them out of Egypt. He's taken them to Mount Sinai in the Sinai Peninsula, where he went up on the mountain and received something. What did he get? The Ten Commandments from God, okay, the law of God. And then his job was to give that, teach that to the Levites, the priests, and they would then teach that to all the people, which there was probably two million plus people who came out of Egypt. Can you imagine leading 2 million people out of Egypt? What a task. And he leads them to the east side of the Jordan River, just north of the Dead Sea, and they're going to enter into the Promised Land. They didn't actually get that far. I'm in the wrong chapter. He leads them to Kadesh Barnea, south of the Promised Land, and said, let's send in some people, let's send in 12 of them to investigate the land and come back with a report. So they do. The 12 come back, and 10 say, no way, there's giants in there. They have great land. Yeah, wonderful food. Everything's wonderful there, but the people are so big. We don't know anything about fighting. They're fighting. We know. And 2 said, yes, we can take it. Why? Because God said we could. And those 2 were who? Joshua and Caleb. But the people believed the 10 instead of the 2, and so God punished them by having them wander in the desert for 40 years. And so that generation died off. They did not get to go into the Promised Land. But Moses is now at the place where the next generation is ready to go into the Promised Land. He goes up on the mountain, and God says to him, you cannot go into the mountain. You cannot go to the Promised Land. Because Moses had disobeyed God earlier in his travels, in leading the people of Israel. Moses had disobeyed God. Let's learn a lesson here. Have you ever thought that, oh, this is just a little sin, it's not a big deal? Every sin's a big deal. So Moses is now on the mountain. He's about ready to die. And he gives the people, out of Deuteronomy, the law again. He wants to remind them of the law. He says this to them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And with these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. And you shall talk about the law to your children when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. The Hebrews actually put a little box. They would tie it to their head, and they'd put a scripture verse in there, and they'd wear it. And they'd focus on that verse for a year. Can you imagine focusing on one verse for a whole year? What would that do to setting that verse into your faith DNA? To focus on one verse, one passage for an entire year. That's powerful. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, with houses that you did not build, with farms that you did not plant. God's going to give you something really good. But here's the thing, he says, I want you to remember. The Ten Commandments were recorded in the book of Exodus chapter 20. They were repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, just the chapter before I read to you here. In Hebrew, the name of this book is Devarim. The book of Deuteronomy is Devarim, which means the words, or these are the words of Moses to you. Listen up. You're about to go into the Promised Land. Listen up. For what these words are going to mean to you is success. If you will bind them to your heart. In the Greek, which the New Testament was originally written in, the book is called Deuteronomy. It comes from 2 Greek words, duo, which means second, and nomos, which means law, the second law. Moses is repeating the law to them. It's not 2 different laws, but the law you see in Leviticus is now being repeated in Deuteronomy. So why start in Deuteronomy 6 for this message? Simply this. Moses knows that he's dying. He also knows that the Jews are about to enter the Promised Land, Canaan, for the first time. So Moses writes to remind them, the Jews, of God's law for at least 3 reasons. Here they are. Reason number 1. To remind them that keeping God's law would keep them unified as a nation. I think God's law ought to be greatly remembered in the United States and reunite us as a nation. If you want to destroy a nation, create all kinds of factions and divisions in that nation. And we have that. We have a thing called race. I just want to call it the human race. I don't care about color. There's only one race called the human race. But God's law would keep them unified as a nation. Secondly, to remind them that obeying God's law always results in personal joys and blessings. Have you experienced this in your own life? You know you're following God. Maybe it was fun, maybe it was difficult, but you followed God's law and you went, wow, this feels good. It's just a knowing that this is right in my bones kind of joy. Thirdly, Moses wrote to remind the Israelites of God's law that when they connected obedience to God's law with receiving God's good blessing, they would realize that in giving them the law, God was, in fact, expressing his love to them. Okay, anyone who is a child here, remember when your parents said to you, you need to do this. I don't want to do that. And it felt like a rule. Oh, Dad's got all these rules. You know why Dad gave those rules to you? You know now, don't you? You've grown up. Because he loved you. He wanted to keep you safe. He wanted you to know wisdom. He wanted you to learn from experience. And I remember one time sitting down with my mom at the kitchen table. And Dad had said something I couldn't do, and I was upset about it. And I said to Mom, why do you and Dad think you know more than me? And my mom answered not with a lecture, but just one simple statement. She said, Delbert, we don't know everything, but we know more than you because we've lived longer. We've had more time to experience life. I was able to accept that. That was a good piece of wisdom my mom gave me. So, there is a not-so-obvious fourth reason that God gave the Israelites his law before they entered the promised land. God knew that the strength of the family unit, hear this, the strength of the family unit, mom, dad, children, is what would preserve the nation of Israel as they face the trials and temptations of entering into a new place. It would take dad and mom and children bonded together to make this national effort successful. As a family, you can bring that same truth down to your own family unit and say, it's going to take mom and dad and children to make our next family endeavor successful. High schoolers, listen up. The decisions you make today, June 18th, 2017, will impact your future. Make them wisely. Practice godliness now in your relationships with your friends, with the opposite sex. Practice godliness because that, what you practice now, is what you're going to practice as a husband or a wife. Am I speaking truth here? Amen. Practice it now. Learn it now. The strength of the family unit would be vitally important to this task of entering the promised land. And the strength of the family unit would be found in keeping God's law fresh in their minds and their hearts. This is what God knew. If their families lost touch with his law, the nation would crumble. That's why Moses gave this second reading of the law just before they entered the promised land. Jesus summed up all of God's laws and teaching recorded in the Old Testament in two commands in the New Testament. They're found in Mark 12, 30, 31, and Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. These four words, heart, soul, mind, and strength, are a way of saying that we need to let God's instruction saturate heart, mind, soul, and fiber of your strength. Saturate. How much time do you spend in the Word of God, dads? Saturate. Because your family is following you. Your family will walk the path you walk. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second command was love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I had to think about this. I studied the original language. I looked at it. You know what the second commandment is about? Pursuit. Pursuit. Love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot love your neighbor by staying inside your house and never talking to them. You have to pursue them. And love your neighbor as yourself is about pursuit. Going to, seeking out your neighbor. Getting to know your neighbor's name. How many of you know five of your neighbor's names? Good for you. Some of you do. That's great. Know your neighbors around you. Know them by name. Know the name of their dog. How's Fido doing? I heard you took him to the vet. Yeah. Care about them. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. How do you love yourself? Okay, this isn't about philosophy of self-love. You know, that's all you need is just, you just need to love yourself. No, you need relationships to help love you too. But in receiving yourself, all of you, the good parts of you and the bad parts of you, and embracing both, embracing all of that, guess what you'll do with your neighbor? Embrace all of them too, good and bad. Oh, my neighbor, he's just a... You know what we demand of ourselves, we demand of others. And if you got demands on yourself, I need to be lower like, I should... That's how you're going to be with other people. You're going to demand that of them too. And you're going to be mad at them because they didn't deliver. When really, you're mad at yourself because you didn't deliver. Dads, your children know how important you are to them. I want you to know and realize this, because no matter how old your children are, they are still looking to you. Whether they recognize it, acknowledge it, or not, it's built into their lives. God put it there. So pursue your children, pursue your neighbors, pursuit. Love your neighbor as yourself. Dads, we honor you today because God has called you to be men, to lead your families, to experience the joys and the benefits of obeying God's word, and therefore conclude that obeying God's word truly does bring peace and power and joy and strength to a family. It can be a challenging task because you and your family face situations in this world that tempt you to replace God's word in your homes and in your hearts with worldly counterfeits. How much television, internet, Facebook do you watch, interact with? Think of it this way, dads. Magazines, television, Facebook, internet, anything that you visit regularly to gain information is a coach. It's coaching you. The Word of God, coaching you. Now, dads, when we spend time in the Word of God, He is coaching us. When we spend time in other resources, they are coaching us. Now, if what we're reading over here is agreeing with what we're... Good deal. But our world is really antagonistic against God. And how many coaches might I have here versus how many coaches I have here? Keep your mind saturated with the Word of God. So today I share with you some tools that will help you experience the Word of God and remain strong as a family, which creates a stronger nation. So let's look in a toolbox today. Let's look in a toolbox and find some tools. Most guys love tools. How many of you are a Tim Taylor kind of guy? In fact, Harbor Freight tools. How many of you are aware of Harbor Freight tools? Oh, yeah, look at the hands go up. Okay, Harbor Freight tools came to Walla Walla. It's on Eastgate, right? Right where Ace Hardware used to be. I know right where it's at. And they just opened a grand opening in Hermiston. There's another one. We're surrounded by Harbor Freight. Yeah, this is great stuff. You know, power tools. Woo. The other day, Kayla and I went to town and did some shopping. And after we got done shopping, we did some clothes shopping. And after we got done, she said, well, is there any other thing you need to do today? I said, yeah, I need to go to Harbor Freight. She goes, no, you don't. So we didn't. We like tools because we need them to do the job. How? Right. Do the job right. Dad always pounded that into us kids. Do the job right the first time. But guys, let me ask you this. Have you ever been doing a job and didn't have the right tool? You own the right tool, but you didn't have it next to you, and so you used the wrong tool because the right tool was still in the garage, and you didn't want to go get it, and so you and either broke something or broke your finger, or, you know, doing the right job with the wrong tool. Well, using the wrong tools can result in pain, like skin knuckles, and wasted time and effort. But in your family, it's the same. The wrong tools can cause pain, and the right tools result in God-honoring strength and bonding. So what are some of the power tools that are available to fathers? Number one, family Bible time. Now, again, dads, I do not want you thinking, too late for me, my kids are growing in God. No, you know what? Remember this. Your children know how important you are to them. And if you think, well, it's too late. No, it's not too late for you. I don't care if they live in Connecticut. Get on the phone. Get on the internet. Get on Facebook. Use these tools with you and say, hey, I was reading in Deuteronomy 6. Turn to that with me, would you? And then get their Bible and you talk about it over the phone. And you're showing them how important the Word of God is to you. It's never too late, Dad. Family time. The first priority for you, Dad, is to know God's Word yourself. I find it odd that many dads want to know the will of God, okay, but spend very little time in God's Word. Come on, dads, let's be dads of the Word of God. Knowing God's Word is not hard, but it does take some time and some determination. Set up a time for your family to spend time in God's Word together at least once a week and read a few verses or a whole chapter, I don't care, and then start asking questions. Start talking about it. What does this mean to you? Justin and Kendra and I haven't done this often enough, but we've got a little book called Grace and Truth by Randy Alcorn. How do you balance grace with truth? Do those things even fit together? So we're going through that study. And that's a fun thing. Man, we can read one page out of a chapter and spend a whole evening just talking about this and that and things that pertain to grace and truth. Let the family ask questions. Okay, dads, don't be afraid of not knowing the answer. You have lots of resources around you nowadays. Take advantage of them. Teach the kids how to find answers themselves. You know, blueletterbible.com, a great resource. Yeah. So spend some Bible time. Secondly, family fun time. Do family outings or family innings. I don't care. But time to enjoy the outdoors or indoors. Our kids enjoy a good water fight. Still today, at 26 and 25, our kids love a good water fight. Oh, 27. Sorry, Justin. Kendra, how old are you? 25, okay. Haven't forgot your name yet. But family outings, and make it simple, okay? It doesn't have to be rocket science. Time with dad is it. Just think of that. Herb McCutcheon, some of you guys know Herb McCutcheon. When he retired from being a phone repairman, he spent a couple more years here in Athena. Then he and his wife moved, and he said to me, Delbert, this is the most important thing you give your kids, time. It doesn't have to be specific kind of time. Give them time. Recently, I've been talking with some parents about time with kids, and they wanted to be sure it was quality time, and I cautioned them against that. Because what you might think is quality time may not be for your kids. Man, this is fun, isn't it? And they're going, let's think of it this way. Quality time, quality moments, are found in the midst of quantity time. It's in the midst of quantity. And you don't plan quality, not very often at least. It just kind of happens for them in these moments. It might have been you shared something that was so funny that you're hanging off of each other laughing. That's a quality moment. It's bonding. You're sharing a story together, or you see a movie, and you're both crying. Dads, how many of you cry in front of your kids? Yeah. You know, I still find it when we're watching a movie and going, oh, allergies are coming. Sometimes Kayla and I will watch a movie, we look at each other, we're both crying. Quality versus quantity. Third, learning together through a book or a website of interest to your child. That's simple stuff. Reading together a topic of interest, using an interactive website or a game. And kids love to learn, and they love to learn when you're with them. Number four, the question jar. I love this one. Write down questions and put it in a jar, and every now and again, bring the jar out. Everybody takes one out, and they answer the question. You know, when was a scary time you had in a dark basement? Tell about a time when you enjoyed riding your bike. Tell about a time when you crashed on your bike. Tell about a time that you laughed so hard you... things like that. Okay, put that in the question jar and just have fun with it. Because these things come to your mind in the oddest. It might be washing dishes or whatever. And oh, that question, you write it down, throw it in the jar. It's just great fun. Number five, praying together on a topic or event in your town, state, or country. We had a shooting in Congress, right? Practicing baseball. Congressman got shot almost fatally. He's pulling through. That's stuff that we can pray together about in a family. Number six, helping others by leading your family to invest in people in some way. Go rake a yard. Go visit people. Go do something. It's easy. One of the easiest things you can do is just go visit someone. Your kids will learn that you care about other people, and they go, oh, that's how we're supposed to do it too. They pick up. You can tell them all day long, we're supposed to care about people. But when you go out and do it, they go, oh, that's what it looks like. See? Invest in other people in some way. Well, let's respond to God. Go for the greatest impact, Dad. Go for the greatest impact. The greatest impact God has on you happens when you spend time with Him. Dads, here's your challenge. Are you ready? Spend 10 to 30 minutes with your father every day. Okay? This isn't 10 to 30 minutes that you check off. Okay, I got that out of the way. Like I got dad out of the way. Now I can. No. This is relationship time. Okay? The second challenge is to have great impact on your family, spend 30 minutes a day with your family. Now, Years ago, when kids were little, they competed for my time. And so I did this. I said, Justin, right now is your half hour. Kendra does not get to have this half hour. It's just you and me. Oh, that's great. And then a half hour later, I said, Kendra, this is your half hour. Justin does not get to have this half hour. Dad! But it was just them. And then have time together, doing your innings or outings, it's all simple stuff. Dad, don't make it harder than it is. You are really important to your children. They know that. Let's help ourselves remember that too. I close with this statement by Steve Farrar, a Christian writer. He says this, "A godly father is the spiritual submarine who prayerfully supports every activity of his children's life. A man who has put on the full armor of God and with that armor goes to warfare on his knees for his children. He is a force to be reckoned with through his prayers when he cannot be with his children, trusting God is watching over them and is guiding their lives. Dad, you may sometimes be undetected by your children, but please know this, they always know how important you are to them." Amen? So dads, I leave you with this. Do not feel guilty. We can always say, I wasn't enough, or I'm not enough, or I should do that better. We can always say that. But instead, let's let this Father's Day, June 18th, 2017, be a Father's Day that says, I'm important to my children, whether they say it or not. And I'm going to be a man who invests in their lives in various ways. Make it fun, make it simple. Make it inexpensive. And you will become a man of influence in your family, and that family strength will then strengthen this country. God bless you, dads. So dads, I'm going to challenge you to do one thing. If you'd do this with me, would you just come down here and be with me? Would you come down? We're going to sing the song, and as we sing it, would you come and stand with me? Stay there, Mark.